Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Amen. We're going to receive communion at the end of our service this morning, but in preparation leading to that, I want to share from 3 John, and it's only one chapter, so it's verse 2. Would you turn there with me, please? Here's what it says. Beloved, I wish above all things, everybody say above all things, that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So today, I want to entitle this simple message, if you're taking notes, above all things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word says above all things, that you will that everyone may prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. So, Father, I pray today that by the Spirit of God, you take this simple yet powerful truth and birth life to it as it was designed to produce fruit in our lives through knowledge of what you've said and our faith in it. Produce what you desire in the hearts and lives of each and every one of your people. And we give you the praise and give you the glory for it now in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Now notice how it began. It says, beloved. Everybody say, beloved. You know, many times we can read things from the scripture and just gloss right over them. You know, as believers, we need to be reminded of all the promises of God, and that's what I endeavor to do, at least in part today, that we have time to share. Now, notice this word, beloved. Beloved means it's addressing believers. This letter was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle John to write this letter, this epistle. Amen. And he says, beloved, because this is a term of endearment that is used with believers. It's talking about it's addressing only those that are actually children of God. You see, believers have promises from God that sinners simply do not possess. It does not mean that God doesn't love the sinner. God loves the sinner. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But there is a difference. God's promises here in the word that he's talking about is for the beloved. And the promises of God reveal the assets of being a believer, a child of God. So what we must learn to do, we must learn them, we must learn the promises, what God has said belongs to his children, because they reveal what God says actually belong to the beloved, or belong to the child of God, or belong to the believer, or belong to you and I, so that we can possess them as they are part of our inheritance as the people of God. Amen. And two of them are the promises concerning right here. That's what we want to talk about today. Prospering or prosperity and divine health and healing. These two promises here today is what I want to address. Us prospering or prosperity and us having health or divine health or and healing in our lives. Because this is what the Word of God says right here, above all things. Above all things. Now, there's a lot of things. When you say above all things, God is saying there are many promises. He says, but above all of them, here are two things that the Spirit of God inspired the Apostle John to write of, so that we would know above all else, this is God's will for his children to prosper and to be in health. Glory to God, above all things. There's a reason that's in there, church. This verse must be understood to mean that without a doubt, both prosperity and health and healing all the will of God for every child of God. Get it straight, never forget it. And if these are above all things, is it any wonder why Satan fights against these? And that these two come under such an attack even in your mind on a daily basis? Come on. What comes under attack, Pastor Chris? I tell you what comes under attack. The very thought that God wants you to succeed. The very thought that God wants you to prosper. The very thought that prosperity is the will of God for your life, no matter what, all the time, 24/7, every day, 365, 24/7. Right. And that it is God's will for you to have divine health and healing, if need be, 24/7, 365, around the clock, all the time. It is God's will. Now, don't tell me that that in something that's fought that you have to fight for. In other words, you have to fight against the thoughts that say something contrary. You have to fight against the feelings that say something contrary. But it makes it no less the fact that God said, above all things, this is God's will for the believer. This is part of your inheritance. This is what belongs to you. And you must know it and you must get it right. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's the will of God for all of us. Touch your neighbor and say, tag, you're it. Praise the Lord. That's who God's talking to. He's talking, if you're a believer, he's talking to you today. Don't look around like it may be for somebody else. This is for you. This belongs to you. The question that maybe we need to ask is, where do we ever get the idea that the people of God should not be prosperous? Come on. I can tell you where it came from. The devil. The traditions of men and religion. But obviously not from the Word of God, because it says, beloved, I wish. There's no way you can cut around this. He says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. I can be adamant about it because the Word of God is adamant about it. Now, I can tell you the devil will fight it tooth and toenail. You know that. And you know that religion and tradition of men will fight that. Hallelujah. But obviously, where do people get the idea that prosperity or being prosperous is not in the plan of God or is anti-God? Obviously, the only one that comes up with that is the devil and someone that's inspired to by the devil. If you look at the Word of God, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to help us. Listen, you don't have to have too much help to talk you out of the promise of God. Not because it's not all powerful, but if you don't get it right in your heart and your mind, you'll never possess it. So you got to get it right. And this is why we're talking about it today, because, beloved, that's talking about you. I wish above all things that you may prosper. The word wish there means I pray or I will. Look it up. I pray. If this is divine inspiration, which it is, if the Apostle John says, I pray, the word means I wish. The word actually means I pray or I will. So he's saying this by inspiration of the Spirit of God, that is God's will for us to prosper and be in health. Prosperous means, this is what this word means. This word in the Greek means to have good success. Did you know that God wants you to have good success? This word means to be successful in business affairs. Look it up yourself. It's very easy to look it up. It means to have good success. It means to be successful in business affairs. It means to have a prosperous or successful journey in life. Woo, glory to God. How many of life is a journey? And God likes for you to have a successful one. You know, there's many people, I look into the audience today, I know every week in the summer we have people that take vacation. Thank God for it. I took one, Pastor Devin, I took one. Amen. And we're thankful for it. So I applaud people that do that and do it the right way. But you know what? We pray for all of our people to have safe journeys. That would be a prosperous journey, wouldn't it? I said, if I prayed for them to have a safe journey, would that mean to have a prosperous one? Come on, sure it would be. And so, but here's something I always say, I've said many times, I'm going to repeat it again. If you went on vacation and you left and you just started driving and you didn't have any money, then that vacation is not going to be too prosperous. It's not going to be too successful. It's going to be very short-lived and not too happy. Come on. Let's just have common sense about it. No, there's much planning that goes in that. Unfortunately, some people spend more time planning for vacation than they do about their eternity. Now, we need a plan for both. And God says, I made a way that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So we're talking about prospering first, and it means to have good success. It means to be successful in life journey. It means to be successful in business affairs. So obviously, it does include something with your finances, but you'll find here in just a moment that it's more than just finances. But it does include that. The prosperity here we're talking about has nothing to do with selfishness. And see, I know there's a lot of people that with a religious mindset and traditions of men, they want to fight you tooth and toenail about prosperity. They think prosperity is a bad word. It's a biblical word. God takes delight in the prosperity of his servants, the psalmist says. But I want you to know, I'm talking about the prosperity of God. The prosperity that we're talking about today has nothing to do with selfishness. If we're seeking to gain in order only to have, that's not the prosperity I'm talking about. But if we're seeking to gain in order to build the kingdom of God, that's what I'm talking about. If we're putting God first, see, prosperity's purpose for the believer enables them to do the will of God and the works of God. It means man's every need is met while he serves the purposes of God as well. So God's promise is to bless us and make us a blessing if we learn to do it His way. Amen. Woo! If we learn to do it His way. Amen. And here's His way, Matthew 6:33. You know what? We're going to read it from a little different translation. New Living Translation says this: seek the kingdom of God above all else. Everybody say, above all things. See, this is what it's saying. Seek the kingdom of God above all things and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Woo, glory to God. So in other words, we got to put God first. Above all else. First means above all else. And there's a lot of else's. But God says if you seek Him first, above all, the kingdom of God, His way of doing things is the Amplified Translation. If you seek after Him to prosper His kingdom, to put that first, hallelujah, that His will and His work and His service comes through our life and live righteously, He'll give you everything that you need. But you know what? We want to do it our way. You know why? Because however long you've been unsaved without Him, you did it your way. For me, it was 24 years. I had a lot of unlearning to do. I had a lot of unselfishness to get rid of. And you know, the truth is, just because you got saved don't mean all the unselfishness left. Come on. So I had to learn above all things to seek the kingdom of God above all else. Amen. Above all things and live righteously. That means I live the way that God wanted me to live. See, if you let the devil tell you that God is trying to spoil everything. No, the last time I read my Bible, it says the wages of sin is death. There's pleasure. The book of Hebrews in chapter 11 says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But I can tell you that season will run out. I think sometimes that, I'm not a deer hunter, but I know plenty of people that are deer hunters. I think that deer actually know when the season comes in. Because right up by the time you see them everywhere, and then right after, you don't see them. You know, you might see them at night trying to, you dodge them and all that kind of stuff, and you miss them, praise the Lord, driving down the road. But, and Pastor Deb and I said, don't worry about it. They know when bang, bang comes. And you know what? They know when bang, bang stops, because right after it's over, you see a whole herd of them again. Come on. But why'd you share that, Pastor Chris? It ain't about deer. It's about being smart as deer. Because I can tell you right now, the devil will lie to you and tell you that if you do things God's way, God's going to take all your fun away from you. But the Bible said that the wages of sin is death, and that there's pleasure in sin for a season. And I can tell you, the devil wants to catch you when that season runs out. Amen. Because he will take everything that you ever had and steal it from you, because his way produces death. God's way produces life and blessing. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we're talking about building the kingdom of God, seeking the kingdom of God above all else, above all things. Everybody say above all things. Amen. See, God doesn't mind us having things, but he does mind things having us. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't mind us having things. You got to learn that. But God does mind things having us. When does things have us? We hold on it so tight. See, God don't mind you having money. He just don't want you to be stingy. He's not opposed to you being blessed. He's not opposed for you being prosperous. He's opposed for you and I being covetous. That's what he's opposed for. He's opposed to that. He's opposed to that. So we'll go back to 3 John 2. Are you getting anything this morning? Beloved, we call beloved. Who's beloved? That's the person next to you if they're a child of God. Amen. And then he says, I wish. Now, I alluded to this before. The word wish in the Greek means, wish is not a good translation, because this is where a lot of times people say, well, I'm just a hoping and a praying. I'm just a wishing that that would be so. Well, you just as well say, twinkle, twinkle, little star, because you don't get anything from God by wishing and hoping. You get things from God by faith, by knowing what the promise is and then laying hold to that promise through your faith. So this word wish there is the word, it's if you look it up, it means I pray or I will. So God is saying, I will above all things that you may prosper. Amen. I like what one translation says. They can't put this up, but it's you say, what translation is it, Pastor? It's the Message of the Apostles by George Barker Stevens. He said, may God, who has so richly prospered you in your spiritual life, grant you a full measure of all temporal blessings. A full measure of all temporal blessings. God wants us to prosper and have success in every area of our lives. Get it straight. Never forget it. In every area you face, if you're lacking in, God wants you to be successful in. And it's begin by you knowing that. He wants you to prosper and have success in every area of life. But listen, in finances, but not just finances. Because most of the time, where people just think you're just talking about something financial. I am, but not only that. He wants us to prosper and have success spiritually. He wants us to prosper and have success emotionally. Oh boy, right there. That's a big one right there. There's so many times people, amen, are a basket case. Not because God don't love them, but they're worried about this. They're fearful about that. They got this issue, that issue. They're looking at the wrong stuff. You're letting the wrong things in your mind to stay there, to park. They double parked where they don't belong. That's why you're an emotional case. But God got good news for you. It don't have to stay that way, because God wants you to be prosperous, not only financially, not only spiritually, but emotionally. And the list goes on. Mentally, a strong mind. A spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. It goes on. How about relationally? Well, you know, Pastor Chris, I do real good all the time. Me and God are tighter than we ever been. It's just all those people I run around, I get involved with. You know, we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The sucking is likened to that. Love our neighbors as ourselves. So if we're having a problem with everybody else, guess where the problem may be? Woo, glory to God. It's where the person is calling all the other people problem. Praise the Lord. And we've all been there and done that. Might even have the t-shirt, but you're getting rid of it today. Because God wants you prosperous relationally. You may say, well, I'm just awkward. Okay. Well, have you asked, do you have a friend? Well, I'm trying to get one. Well, be bold enough to say, be bold enough to say, if you have one, okay, be bold enough to say, can you, I'm going to ask you a personal question. I don't want you to lie to me, and I want you to pacify my feelings. What about me? When I'm around, they might say, stop talking so much. Ask them, why don't I have more friends? Well, when everybody, you just talk. You just on and on. It's always about you. It's all about this. And oh, it's real quiet in here now. Or the other side may tell me about me, why don't I have any friends? Well, when you get around everybody, you just stand there. You never say anything. Matter of fact, you shy away from everyone. See, it's two opposites of the spectrum, and somewhere we have to get that healthy balance. I'm not you and you're not me, but God said, listen, God said He would make us prosperous in this way. He'll make us prosperous in this way. So we don't have to be weirded out. Amen. If everybody's running from you, it's either you got bad breath or you're offensive to them or something's going on. I mean, I'm being, somebody said honest, praise the Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. But you know what? God designed us, if we want to know the answer, we may need to ask God, but we may need to ask somebody else. But we got to be strong enough to take that criticism, and even if it's criticism, they tell you wrong. Here's what I've had plenty of people criticize me, and here's what I do. I say, Lord, now if any of that is true, then I repent. Because sometimes I know what sometimes people say. They're saying what somebody else said. They've heard it third party, second party, all this, and they said all kind of stuff. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. And they've taken somebody else's offense. They said this. I didn't do anything to them. And and I used to be really nice and that pastor and everything else. And they took what somebody else said. And then you become the villain. And that's never good. So what we really have to do is we have to ask ourselves, say, if there's anything true about that, let's man up and say, if there's anything true about that, I repent and I turn from that. But Lord, I want you to also know that I want to know if there's anything true about that. Says I want to make the change. I want to make the change. I don't want that. But if there's things that are obviously that are totally wrong, then you just not, instead of get offended by it, you just need to let it run off your back like water off a duck back. And I like what Pastor Jerry Sporrell, who's pastor here 10 years at this church, who we took over for, great man and woman of God, Pastor Jerry and Jill Sporrell, he looked at me one day, he says, Brother Chris, if people really knew me, they really would love me. But you know, the problem is, a lot of times, people, they don't know you. And so, you know, they make all kind of critical assessments about things and this, that, the other. Amen. Boy, I've got the melon, ain't I? But you know what? Why, where are we at with this? Because, listen, God wants you prosperous relationally. Relationally. And you know what? You might have isolated yourself for so long, you don't, you know, this is one reason why people don't want to come to a larger local church like this. I've heard person after person, I don't like crowds. I'm not trying to call you a liar, but do you like Walmart? Well, that's a needed evil, Pastor Chris. I just have to go there. Well, if that's a needed evil, how much more the local church? Come on, get over yourself. Come on, come on. I get the part that we grow. We got to grow beyond ourselves, but there's never a healthier place than to grow than it should be right here. Than right here. You're going to be welcomed here. You're going to be loved here. Yes, I get it. Everybody is not perfect like you, so you will be criticized too by some people that shouldn't have. I get that. Your baby might got bit in the nursery. I know that didn't happen, but what I'm saying is there is no perfect church. You know why? Because the moment you and I walked in the door, we messed the whole thing up. Look at your neighbor and say, he told the truth there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Okay, so he wants us, I'll move on. He wants us healthy relationally. He also wants us healthily, I talked about that, financially, and let's talk about this side of it too, physically as well. Physically. So I got another question for you as we move on today. I'm moving pretty quick. Praise the Lord. Amen. The question is, where in the world did we ever get the idea that God doesn't want us well? Or that he's putting sickness, disease on us to discipline or to teach us a lesson? I can tell you where it came from. It came from the devil. And it came from uninformed men and women of God with unrenewed minds, the tradition of men, and the doctrines of devils. That's where it came from. No, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. No, here's what we have to understand. Sickness and disease came into the world through sin and death, neither of which was or is ever God's will. None of that's the will of God. And sickness and disease came into the world through sin and death. So it can't be the will of God for your life. The origin of it tells us it isn't from God, nor is it his will, nor can we ever prosper from it. You know, but sometimes the devil, I've seen it over and over again, the devil talk to people in that somehow in their mind, they think being sick, they prosper from. Oh, God is bringing out the good. No, listen, the only good that's going to come out is you to trust God to get out of that thing. Is you finding out the truth and you exercising your faith to be free from that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Just the origin of sickness and disease alone, if you're honest, you realize that it cannot be the will of God. No shape, form, or fashion. Don't even got a sniff of it. Come on. 3 John 2. God wants us, the beloved, to prosper and be in health. Does everybody say be in health? So divine health and healing is the will of God. And it's above all things. Everybody say above all things. That's what God said. Above all things, I want you to know this. Now, the reason I'm harping on this is because I can tell you the devil has harped on the other for you, against you for so long. You may be saved. You may be loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But I can just tell you the devil has harped in this one. That's the reason why it says above all, because God knows that the devil's picked on this one. Doesn't mean you're not a good person. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Doesn't mean you haven't tried. I'm just telling you, the devil has picked on this one for so long because we've just accepted that sickness and disease is part of life. Why? Because you've been programmed by all the propaganda by the mainstream mockingbird media. That it's flu season, this season, is that. You're going to expect this and that. Oh, save your life through Lily. All the stuff that come on. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Well, Pastor Chris, I like watching the different stuff. I can't help it that there's commercials on there. I know you can't help this commercial, but they're on there for a reason. There's a reason. And it ain't, listen, and it ain't to make you prosperous. It's to take every last dollar like the woman with the issue of blood. Now, I realize, listen, I'm not against doctors because we got some good ones. Okay, and I'm not against doctors, and all doctors are not like that. But the system is not pushing for your health. They may have health on the building, but they want repeat customers because without repeat customers, their doors are closed. The moment Jesus walks in and does what he wants to do and gets the thinking right in the believers, like, come on, then that means there's an employment line with all these people in it. An unemployment line, I should say. Oh, I know I'm meddling, but I'm telling more truth. Now, listen, I'm not against doctors, and I'm not against those that are really trying to help you. There's plenty of doctors and nurses, even in this church. I applaud you for your hard service and for your love and for your care for you. But we got doctors that will pray for you and try to get you well. I know that. I'm talking about the system. The system. And it's part of the beast, end time beast system. Oh, glory to God. Oh, now you preach it, Pastor Chris. What are you talking about? Just pay attention. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, above all things. Be in health. Hallelujah. That's above all things. He wants that. You know why? Because you have been lied to and you have been beat up so long that you've just accepted. Well, you got to die of something. Oh, you do, huh? Where's that in the Bible? My Bible says a long life will satisfy you and show you your salvation. I know there's a lot of people that have died. A lot of people that have gone home early. There's a lot of people that doesn't make them bad, doesn't make them evil. But I can tell you what, that isn't the will of God. I'm telling you, the will of God is that God wants you to prosper and be in health. And until you get this straight, you will, listen, unless you get this straight in your thinking, you will fight this battle all your life. Whew. So, okay, so let's look at this. Everybody say, above all things. Psalms, I better move on. Psalms 103, verse 2 and 3. Look at this with me. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. Forget not all. That means that we could forget his benefits. All right, so let's talk about two of his benefits. Verse 3, who forgives all. Everybody say, forgives all. Forgives all your sins, and who heals all your diseases. Woo! Benefit. Benefit. That should be a gold mine to us. To know we ain't got to walk. You know why more people aren't well? It's because they're living with their past. They're living in a place where they hope God has forgiven them. They hope they've been pardoned. They hope they want to believe it instead of believing it. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. Because I remember a time shortly after Pastor Debbie and I got saved. Amen. We were on fire for God. But I can tell you the devil don't like when you be on fire for God. So I'm going to teach you a lesson today how the devil works. So he came to me and I knew this. I knew that faith in God was my answer. I knew if I'm going to, the same thing that a person, if God, in other words, forgiveness of sins and healing of diseases go hand in hand. But I got to a place where in my own personal life that I had a problem receiving the forgiveness for my sins. I hadn't done robbed a bank. I hadn't cheated on Pastor Debbie. I get that out of your mind. I hadn't done nothing wrong. I was just in my process of growth with God. I was doubting God in some areas. And my own heart was condemning me. God wasn't condemning my own heart. I could choose to believe, but I was like, man. And I was basing upon feelings. Everybody say feelings. We all got feelings. You can't go by feelings. You have to understand faith is first and foremost based upon the Word of God, and faith, secondly, is a choice. Once you know what the Word says, just choose to believe it. You choose to believe what the devil's saying, or you choose to believe what God is saying. This is why it's so important that you understand that word is the absolute authority of God speaking to you. If you think it's something else, oh, this is just the word of man, that's what the devil wants you to think. Because without the absolute authority, you don't have faith. You have to understand that's God talking to you. But the moment you believe that and accept that. And so I was struggling in the area because I wasn't receiving God's forgiveness. So I remember sitting years ago, there's very few of them, but Jeff and Bonnie, you in here today? Jeff and Bonnie, you there? You remember the little storefront? There's maybe several other people in here today that remember the little storefront. It's probably 50 people there that day worshiping God. I remember Bob Howe doing the communion. Pastor Bob and Betty Ann doing the communion that day, just like we're going to do in a few moments. I'm helping somebody because I'm telling you how the devil works. So here's what had happened in my life, because I remember sitting in that service feeling so unworthy of receiving. I got ready to say, I'm not even going to receive communion. But I knew it was the right thing to do. All the while, I was having a struggle in my mind. My mind was so struggled, and it was affecting my body. This went on for about a month, and it affected my body so much I lost partial vision in one of my eyes. I could see peripherally, but I couldn't see straight out of one of my eyes. went to work every day, struggled. I mean, I didn't struggle at work working. I just struggled with my walk with God. Why? Because I refused to not only receive God's forgiveness, but actually forgive myself for not believing God. That's where I was having the struggle. So what happened was, I was in a place where that I couldn't even sleep at night. I wake up in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, like hot flashes will hit me in the thought, you're doubting God. You're doubting God. Yeah, I sure am. Oh, Lord. Lord, forgive me. Your word says, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, God's faithful, just, and forgive you of your sins, and forgive you for, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Lord, I thank you for forgiving me. And then 2 minutes later, I say, oh, Lord, I'm not forgiven. Oh, Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. Listen, that's the devil, man. That's the devil. You go crazy like that. So what ends up happening was, I get out of the bed after a couple of nights of that, not sleeping, water, I get out of bed and go on the sofa. Pastor Debbie, wait, she wasn't Pastor Debbie then, neither was Pastor Chris. Just young believers, probably been in the Lord 2 or 3 years, 3 or 4, something like that at the most. I'm laying on the sofa crying. She wakes up in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning. She get ready to go to the shipyard in 2 hours. She needs sleep. I need sleep too, but I'm crying. She wakes up and says, love, what is going on? And then I told her. She said, love, that's the devil. I know it's the devil. But you can know it's the devil. Don't do nothing about it. Ain't nothing going to change until you do something about it. Because you and I are the one with authority. So she talks to me coming back to bed and praying and asking God to forgive me. And just be done with it. It's over. The Lord forgives you for that foolishness, that doubt. Just accept it. But I pray and then I take it back. And I got worse. I got worse. And I'll forget one day coming home from work. I remember right where I turned in. Carol, where are you at? Carol Forrest, you in here today? She's probably serving. There you are. I was turning right in the end of the road by your house. Or where you live now, that the road come cut through there. Whatever that road is. Praise the Lord. I used to live in Matthews. I used to know what the road's names were. And whatever that road is. Praise the Lord. Amen. It takes you into the courthouse, the back way. Praise the Lord. When I was turning there, I'll never forget it. I made a decision to say, God, I know what I'm doing is foolish and is wrong, and it's me. It's not you. And I'm driving down the road. I can get down there on my hands and knees. I say, God, right now I ask you to forgive me for all this foolishness, all my doubt and all my unbelief that I've had and held on to about this forgiveness thing and not pleasing you, this, that, the other. And Lord, I receive it right now. And I turn my back on it. I'll never go back to it again. I repent. I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. Now, at that moment, I didn't feel any different, but I knew I had made a decision right here to stand that. And I knew this, that those thoughts would return. It didn't take long. By the time you go in and do this, you sit down, you could be eating supper. I'm helping somebody, you're eating your mashed potatoes and your pork chop, but all of a sudden the thought hits you. The feeling hits you. Thought hits you, and then the feeling hits you. You know you're not forgiven. You know you don't really believe that. You know God is really disappointed in you. God's really disappointed in you. I've rejected it every time. So what happened, Pastor Chris? Well, in a short period of time, I was still tormented I was attacked in my mind over the next few days, but every time I resisted it. And then after a short period of time, I didn't have that anymore. Because when the devil came back, I said, you get out of here. I resist you. I recognize it's you, and I do not accept that in Jesus' name. I run him off. And I've learned to keep him off. Why are you sharing that? Because I remember sitting in that service thinking, I'm not going to receive this. I had such a battle in my head. And you know what? I have great compassion for people. Because I realize today there could be people in here that are struggling with things way worse than what I'm even talking about. And you did well to even get here today. My hat's off of you. I'm here to help you, to pick you up and let you know you're not the only, you're not the lone ranger. You're not this alone, but you're going to have to do the word of God. And I'm teaching you how to do it. And what I'm saying today is the difference between life and death, because above all things, God wants you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So notice he forgives all iniquities. I don't care what you've done. Doing wrong is wrong. I'm not applauding that, neither does God, but he'll forgive you. I said he'll forgive you. The devil won't, but he will. He'll forgive you. That's good news. You just got to believe it. You just got to receive it. And who heals all your diseases. At the same time he actually bore your sin in his own body on the tree, he also bore your sicknesses as well. Same time. Good news is, we're talking about this other side. He heals all. Everybody say all. All, forgives all sins, heals all diseases. What don't you understand? Well, Pastor Chris, you know the doctor said this is incurable. All diseases, that's what you have to answer with. Well, I've been this way for years. So was the woman with the issue of blood. All diseases. Notice both forgiveness of all sins and healing of all diseases are promises of God, meaning the will of, meaning they are the will of God because both are part of redemption and the atonement. They're bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. These two promises, like all the promises of God, are accessed by our knowledge of them and through our faith in the promise of God. Our faith in God, our faith and trust in the promise, or our faith just simply in the Word of God. I've said the same thing repeatedly. See, all these promises are accessed by our knowledge. You can't believe beyond actual knowledge. This is why it's important you're in the right church. This is why you're important you hear the Word of God taught. This is why you're important you hear things like this that above all else God wants you to know about. There's a lot of things I could talk about today and have been right, but above all else, God wants you to know that He wants you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Come on. Come on. These promises, these two promises, like every other promise of God, are accessed by our knowledge. It's impossible to boldly claim by faith a promise you do not know that God is offering. So you have to have knowledge first. Knowledge of what God said, and then put your faith in that. Through that, you can receive the promise. Amen. Hallelujah. 3 John 2 says, so above all things, God wants us to prosper. That means to have success. Everybody say, have success. And to be in health. Well, He wants that, then why ain't I? Thought you'd never ask. So here's the key to it all. Now the key for us, for you and I, God's people, walking in these promises is revealed in the rest of the verse. So now you better be really paying attention. It's revealed in the rest of the verse where it says, even as your soul prospers. That's the key to the verse. In other words, in order for us to prosper and be in health, we have to, this part about even as the soul prospers is the key. If we're going to prosper, be successful in life, or if we're going to be whole in our bodies or receive healing in our bodies, it's going to be even as our soul prospers. You may not be able to give me an amen yet, but you should know that already. So the word even as your soul prosper, even as, this also means above all things, God wants our mind to prosper. Above all things, God wants our minds to prosper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How we think is so important because how we think determines what we believe. And what we believe will determine what we receive from God. Hallelujah. What we believe about the things we talked about us prospering, about us being in health, or any of the promises of God, hallelujah, that will be key to our possession of any of them by how our soul prospers. Amen. Amen. Even as means according to. It means in proportion to. When it says, even as your soul prospers, you could translate it, say, according to how your soul prospers, you'll have this. Or in proportion to your soul prospering, you will have prosperity and you will have health. Your soul prospering is going to be the key to us receiving these promises. And it's above all else the most important thing in our life. Because how our mind thinks about prosperity or healing or any of the promises of God will determine what promises we actually possess. What God wants us to God wants us to prosper or have success in every area of life. He does. It's what it says. But it would depend upon our mind succeeding or prospering in God's word. If we do not get our thinking right, our believing cannot be right. And if our believing is not right, our receiving will not be right. And we won't receive the promised inheritance. This is why Joshua 1:8, just write it down. I didn't tell him put it up. But it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Do something with your mind day and night. It's taught, think on the word. Think on the promises of God. Meditate therein day and night that you may do according to all that is written therein. Do according to all that is written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Stop praying that God make you prosperous. You do something. God told you how to be it. Now, I get it when we say, God, help me to be a success. But the truth is, we're asking God to do something that He told us, showed us how to do. He said, then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. By meditating on the Word and doing the Word, then we'll be prosperous and have good success. Hallelujah. Above all things, God wants us to know His will for our lives is for us to prosper, to have good success. Lord, He wants you to prosper and have good success. You got a business. He wants you to prosper and have good success. How many business owners we have in here today? Own your own business. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I bless you. But God wants you to prosper. He wants you to prosper and have good success. Believe it. Never doubt it. He said He'll bless the works of your hands. He'll give you witty inventions. He'll show you what to do. The people to surround you with. He'll cause you to be blessed. And I speak that blessing over you. Receive it. And it comes in proportion that even as your soul prospers, just believe it. Just believe it and receive it. You may be seated. Hallelujah. God wants you to know His will for all of our lives. All of our lives, not just those in business. To have good success. You don't have to be in business to have good success. See, a lot of times, oh, I'm in a dead-end job. Well, believe God is making you prosperous and having good success. Stop complaining about your dead-end job, your deadbeat boss, and why everybody's stacked against you. Start working hard and asking God to show you and saying with the tongue of your mouth, something good is coming my way. The right job, the right promotion, and I can tell you while you're walking in that dead-end job, somebody can come across your path and say, my God, that person's got the right attitude. I never seen a young person work that hard or a person work like that or have that right attitude. And then they say, here's my business card. Call me sometime. Don't ever think that ain't happened. I can tell you I don't even own my own business. And I've told Pastor Debbie numbers of times, I saw that's the kind of person you want to hire right there. That's the kind of person if I own my own business, I would say, hey, what do you, and talk to them about that, because you got the right attitude. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I'm giving us the keys to success above all things, above all things, above all things. So many of you are living this and have lived it. And I'm reminding you, hallelujah, that it's God's will for all of our lives that we prosper, have success, and be in health, and be in health. You know, you really can't be too prosperous if you're not in health. You can't put your hand to anything. I never seen somebody laid up in the hospital for 8 months and you walk by and say, that's the most prosperous person I ever seen. Blessed be to God. Look at them. I want some of that. No, none of you say that. Maybe you're praying for them to be well, and you know that the stuff is eating away on their accounts. That's not prosperity in any shape, form, or fashion. Above all things, I'm almost finished. Above all things, God wants us to know. Pastor Doug laughed. Praise the Lord. Isaac and Sarah, old Pam's gone. I'll say, okay, no, I'm just playing, okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, Brother Ryan, and the praise and worship team can come too. Hallelujah. Thank God for them. Put your hands together for them. Now, we ain't finished, but we're getting there. Hallelujah. Above all things, everybody say above all things. God wants us to know His will for our lives. It's for us to prosper, have success, and be in health. But the key, everybody say key. See, I've talked a lot about what God wants you to have, but the key is according to your soul prospering, you're thinking and believing right. You got to think and believe right. You can't think me sitting home on my blessed assurance is the answer. You can't think that me having a handout is the answer. You can't think that me being sick is the answer. You can't think that God is against you to be your answer. You can't think that. You got to think and believe right. If it's above all things, is it any wonder what we talked about today? Is it any wonder why the devil fights it so hard? And where our minds come under constant attack in these areas of prosperity and success and health and healing. And if it's above all things, is it any wonder why you must keep your mind renewed in these areas? Got to keep them renewed in these areas. Oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen. They're saying there's going to be a crash. They're saying this. Here's what you say. You say, you answer it. You say, it ain't coming to my house. My God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, what about this? What about that? What about the children of Israel that was in the wilderness? And as long as they trusted God, God said that their shoes didn't wear out. And last time I checked, they had danishes to eat and they had quail to eat. Come on, as long as they stopped complaining, they made out all right. But always remember this, the gripers get the vipers. Praise and be raised. Complain and remain. What are we going to do with our minds above all else? See, this is for the beloved. Now, we're going to receive communion in just one moment. But I realize today that everybody in here, in a growing church, everybody ain't a beloved. See, I said at the very beginning, all these promises that we just talked about belong to the beloved, belong to the children of God. The sinner can't access that. But I got good news for every sinner. I got good news for every person that ain't a saint. God loves you. And here's what the promise is. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave the world the greatest promise of all. That's how we got into the beloved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe on Him, on Jesus, will not perish but have everlasting life. The promise that God gave the whole world before He ever created, according to Titus 1:2, was eternal life. And He said, before I breathe a breath in any soul, I'm making a statement. I want all mankind, whether they hate me or love me, to experience eternal life. But make no mistake about it, that eternal life comes one way and only one way, and that's through the acceptance of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Doesn't come our way. Doesn't come how we figured it out. Doesn't come by our good works or our good looks or any of those things. It comes one way, by us knowing Jesus died for us, paid the price for our sin, and He is the only way to God. Two times in John 14, we always quote verse 9, but He says it twice. He says, He that seen me has seen the Father. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. No man. That means no man. No man, no woman, no girl, no boy. We come one way. He calls Himself the door. Today I invite you to walk through the door. It's Jesus. What do you mean walk through the door? Receive eternal life. Receive this gift. This belongs to you, to the world. It belongs to everybody in this room. But to the beloved, you have all these promises. The door is Jesus Christ. And when you receive eternal life, you walk through that door and you become the beloved. And not only do you receive eternal life, but now you get all these other promises. They belong to you. I invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life today. How do you do that? By repenting of your sins, meaning it with God, coming to God on His terms, saying, God, forgive me of my sins. I turn from my way, and I want your way, and I'm going to follow you. That's important. I'm going to follow you. So will you bow your hearts and heads with me in closing?
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.